All right. Hello and welcome, ladies, to week 11. We're actually entering the third month of the journey, which amazes me. After I sent out the email for the invitation for this class, it's called the Modern Goddess Calendar or Your New Relationship with Time, I got immediately several emails back saying that this topic really opened up some, you know, questions about how do we rearrange our schedules because they seem so packed with so many things we, you know, need to do, and those things don't just go away overnight. But literally, all the women who responded to that said how much love to have a different relationship with time. There's just so much rushing and so many things crammed into a day. So this class is devoted to shifting our experience with time. And then also offered to you is a new tool that I'm developing called the Modern Goddess Calendar. And I'm still filming that, so you probably will get a link to that video by next Monday. But the course recording will be up by tomorrow afternoon. Okay, so I take that to mean that you'd like to spend more time doing things that are the most meaningful to you and things that you love to do. And, of course, all the things that we really love to do tap our natural gifts. That's why we love them so much. There's something about it that's bringing that juice or our life force, you know, into a higher flow through our bodies, hearts, and our lives. So that's where our radiance is not something that we have to add on or try to get or, you know, it's just like turning up the dial on the dimmer switch and turning the lights back on. So you remember that one of the core principles of the course is that your attention and your time are such precious resources. You know, we think about our time because that's on our phones or our watches or whatever on the wall and the clock, and we're very keyed into clock time. And that's very linear. It's a left brain function. It puts us in a very much marching through our day mode when we're looking, watching the clock and ticking off the tasks of the day. So really your attention is the key, your awareness in a focused ray of your life force energy is a key. It's also a form of your love. It's a treasure of a resource because the time you spend placing your attention on what's most precious to you, engaging in activities that you really love, it's so life-affirming. And you know what it's like when we have a day or many hours in a day where we're not doing that. It can be very draining or very flat, let's say. We feel like we're flatlining, you know. So how to turn that around. And this class follows the one on the clear yes and clear no. Remember that class that your body knows the difference between clear yes, clear no, and when you're faced with a choice or a decision for engaging in an activity. And we have sort of this automatic default yes that feels like a should, you know, that comes up with things that maybe they do need to be done. Perhaps it's something that is not just programming, but just an actual fact of our lives, something that we would rather not spend our time doing, is there. So that's another experience. And, you know, many times we kind of brace ourselves and just get through it. But I really love Eckhart Tolle's illustration of the three modes of enlightened doing. And he describes this, I believe it's in his second book. You know, I'll have to look that up. I know the chapter so well, but I've forgotten which book it's in. But to come from that place of being where there's clarity and ease and openness, and that's a space of, it's very not just relaxed, it's a timeless, very present space, very aware, very alert. And then to move into doing, and if something is not, you know, your highest level activity. It's not your absolute joy and needs to be done. He says that you can shift into the mode of acceptance, accepting that, and acceptance is a mode of yes. It also can be a very clear yes. It's just, you know, water flowing down the river accepts unconditionally whatever is in its path. And it just flows in and around and over a stick, a rock, you know, paper or trash. I mean, it does not discern. It just flows. So when we're in acceptance, we can flow through our day and have a different experience of time than when we're in resistance. Resistance, if you cannot seem to get yourself out of resistance in a certain activity, really look to see if that's an activity that is absolutely necessary or if it's coming from a programmed should. What is driving you to do that activity if there's that much resistance and if it's creating any suffering for you? Or if you find yourself complaining about it so much, that could cause suffering for other people too. So the mode we're in when we're engaged with acceptance is very helpful for things that, you know, maybe don't tap our juice, you know, don't bring us to that next level, which is one of enjoyment, actual enjoyment, where we actually are enjoying what we're doing. So acceptance first, and if there's a persistent resistance over time that's causing suffering, that's something we need to look at, and that needs release, possibly, or a whole new approach or support. So release, a whole new perspective or support, right, even delegating, or it's something that needs support, and it can change your whole experience if that's something that absolutely needs to be done. And that's another form of acceptance, receiving support. Sometimes we forget that we can ask for support. And, you know, we're afraid of, well, what if they say no? Well, the universe hears you asking, and there's a yes right behind that. Right behind that, if you stay open, there's always a yes right behind a no. And the no could be a very kind no, and it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your acceptance or rejection. It's just that, you know, we don't know in the mystery where that yes is going to come from. Just know that it's there and stay open to it. Staying open has to do with your state of being in your body. The state of being in your body is a, there's many really markers for that. One of them is that our abdomen is relaxed and open and our breath is very deep into the belly. So to drop into our first level of the mode of enlightened doing, which is acceptance, let's just go right now to the breath. And let's take a breath in. And let's just accept this moment here together. Just come into acceptance of your body right here, relaxed in whatever's supporting you. And fully accept or receive that support. We forget to receive support. We forget to sometimes ask for it. We forget to open to it. But right now, let your body feel the weight of it on whatever you're sitting or laying on. And feel the yes to receive support. So let's breathe in. And then exhale. And as you're exhaling, let gravity just take you over. And sink into that support and open up to receive it. And this is where you can actually enjoy it. feel the enjoyment of being supported. On your exhale, let me make sure I've got you all muted. Yes, on the exhale, you can make a sound, a sigh. Let's all take a deep breath. And exhale and let out a sigh of enjoyment for the feeling of being supported. Because we are also supported energetically in this circle, right? We're in a basket of light. We wove that basket, I think, in the second class. And you can lean into that support. Lean into that support and fully rest into the center of that basket. What's one quality you want to experience tonight in our class? Just let it come to you. Call in a quality that you want to experience more of. And ask the universe for this quality and then open to receive it. Feel your yes to that quality. And then the inquiry question can be something like, I wonder how much, and then whatever that quality is, let's say it's peace, I wonder how much peace I can experience right now in this class, this day, this week. And I wonder how much enjoyment I can receive while experiencing that peace. And just relax and receive it. So let's move on to our second mode, which is enjoyment. This is the mode of enlightened doing where you're actually engaged in an activity that you really, really like. There's a flow to it. When you plug into this activity, you get juice. It lifts you. It increases your life force. Things come naturally to you. It's rather effortless. And or you enjoy the effort that is there. There's such a thing as enjoyable effort. Right? There's such a thing as engaging in something and enjoying the feeling of being engaged. And in a very relaxed and open way, it's very magnetic. It draws more things that match that feeling to you the more you allow yourself to be in that space. And a wonderful question would be, I wonder how much enjoyment I can experience in whatever the activity is of your choice. So think of an activity right now that you actually really do enjoy. Something, maybe it's part of your daily life or your week, or maybe you only get to do it occasionally. That doesn't matter, but you know you love doing it. Whatever that is. And when you're in that activity, it's nourishing you. It's building your energy. You feel satisfied afterwards. Even if you want to rest after that activity, it's a good rest. It's like, ah, you know, just full rest. Joy in the activity and joy in the rest. Now let's go to an activity that is even higher than the state of enjoyment. It's really an activity that you're the most enthusiastic to do. When you find yourself in this space, this is where it's really almost like a peak experience. It's just effortless. There's so much flow. You're so much in the moment that you feel like you're not just moving through this activity, you're being moved. This is really surfing the wave, right? This wave is just like lifting you and you're riding it. And there's a lot of joy. It can be a very peaceful joy. You know, if you're engaged in a very creative activity, it can be very peaceful and relaxing. Or it can be a rather intense joy if it's a very active practice, whatever it is. You know, like skiing down a mountain or something like that. But notice the relationship that's there to the environment. When you are the most enthusiastic and you are the most immersed in this activity and you're the most enthused, you're one with your environment. Your body is one with the environment. That's what feels so great. You are directly plugged in. And the body loves this. There's a lot of endorphins released. And it does feel like a high. So taking a breath and fully receiving that whole body yes to that activity, that your body remembers it and enjoys revisiting it. And in that activity, as you come to complete it, as you come to rest just back here in this now moment, just see how your body feels. You might experience kind of a tingling and a sense of buoyancy, a lightness. Take a deep breath, eyes open, coming back to this moment, and I will tell you something that's very vital with these amazing experiences that we have, and even if they're really rare in our lives and we want to attract more of them, it's really important when you tune into this enthusiastic state to right afterwards, to ground yourself with something that is very day-to-day, actually walking. That cross-crawl motion of the body neurologically wires your body to receive this state and to absorb it, and it reorganizes your neurology to where this becomes more a part of your normal baseline, not just a peak experience. So after you've fully enjoyed, even in the enjoyment phase or enthusiasm mode, either one of those two, make sure that you do something that you consider rather ordinary and very grounding. I mean, you could even cook a meal or wash the dishes, but taking a walk is a good one. Or just do something that you do every day, because your body will associate the everyday movement with the chemistry in the body and with the hormonal state and the endorphins, the whole chemistry, the feelings, sense, and your experience of time is accessible in that space. So walking is good because it's an ordinary everyday activity, and also that cross-crawl motion. And that just means opposite arm to opposite leg moving. That's how mammals move, right? Reptiles move with the same arm, same leg motion. So when we walk opposite arm to leg, and that's called cross crawl. And that accesses rhythmically both sides of the brain in synchrony, and it also moves you, moves the experience through your whole body, and it grounds it in so that you have a new normal. Just a hint, and I think it's a pretty important one to remember. When you receive experiences that are, you know, when you receive your something that you've asked for, you know, we our brain, our gremlins can go, oh, this is too good to be true, or programming and say, oh, you know, don't expect much more of this, or a limiter can come in, which is just a protection. You know, it's the guardian that doesn't want you to get disappointed or this or that. But really, we don't want that limiter at that moment. We just say thank you to the guardian. You know, if that thought comes across, thank you very much. And this is what my choice is right now, to receive even more of this in my day-to-day. And you breathe and you move and you walk and you do any ordinary activity. Gardening, washing the dishes, whatever it is, just ground it in to your baseline. Okay, deep breath. I'm going to move on to, oh yes, a little more about clear yes and clear no and the breath. So it's also important to remember that the clear, when we get a clear yes, when we're faced with a decision and we get a clear yes, there's an openness, right? We're receiving that yes. Our body kind of rings like a bell is another way of saying it, because the yes resonates with us on all levels. Remember the video where we drop a stone through the body? We're saying yes to that quality through the whole body on its way through. Right, we're choosing something. I think on the video I chose the quality of ease, and we're breathing and we're dropping that stone through the body that's carrying the quality of ease and receiving that on all levels. That's saying yes to that quality all the way through your body. You can use that at any time. When you want to be more open to receive and you want to increase your tolerance for the quality, whatever it is, literally that's what we're doing, is expanding our capacity to reside in that level, expanding our capacity to receive that level. And even when we get a clear no, when we listen and respond to that appropriately, you know, if we get, oh, no, I'm not getting this. It doesn't resonate, so I'm not going to choose this, or I'm not going to do this. I'm going to let it go. When you really let it go, and I mean when you let go of any worry about not doing it or any guilt about not doing it, because sometimes that can come in. We'll talk about that in a minute. When you really let go, when you've received a clear no and you accept it and respond to it and honor your clear no, you also get that deep breath, like a sigh of relief. Feels just like a clear yes, because you are saying yes to yourself. So how many times can you remember where you've felt that no, and when you finally came around to saying, okay, I'm going to listen to this, I'm going to let it go, that just opened everything up. Right? I think it was, Adrian last time who brought this up, and several of you responded that how important this is for you to honor the no's. And they're especially important because that means that you have, you know, the river of life force has risen to the point where it's spilling over one of those protective barriers that's trying to keep you safe, you know, but for no reason. It's an old limitation that doesn't serve you anymore. Perhaps it served you in childhood. It served you in a certain situation. But there it is. It's a dam in your river, and it's just blocking things now, blocking your flow. So when you say yes, what happens is really the river of your life force rises, and then it spills over that. What was a blockage becomes a waterfall. It's a whole new perspective. We're not wrestling, fighting, or removing these blocks like there's something bad. It becomes part of the river. And we have an experience of such release. It's very much like a waterfall. When we overcome or spill over our programming, there's a freedom in it that's huge. It's like a weight lifts off of us. Because in truth, it was usually a projected worry or guilt that we've been carrying around as a should. That's a programming that prevented us from saying no to begin with. So we don't even know most of the time the programming we're carrying around with us, the worries, the fears, the anxieties, and the guilt. And you don't need to know and dissect anything in this moment, but I'd like to just lead you through a release exercise tonight. Without dissecting, without pulling it apart, you don't have to know what this core limited belief is at the moment. But let's just tune into our bodies, the place where you carry worry, the energy of worry. And that's projected fear that goes into the future from the past. So we're not in the now moment. We're worrying about the future. Usually it's about someone we love, or it's about our own life or finances or this or that, whatever it is, health. So that worry energy gets stuffed in your body, and we carry it literally like a burden. It's very heavy, and it's exhausting. So feel wherever you carry worry at this moment, and if you can, place a hand on that area, or just place your loving attention there. And I know that when we do this, it can come up and increase a body symptom. So just allow that for a few breaths. That's your body talking to you saying, thank you for paying attention. This hurts in here. And so when you place a hand on that area, you place your attention on it, make sure you have that mouth and nose right underneath that area that's breathing underneath your hand. Take a deep breath. Breathe deep into the belly, and then exhale through the mouth. So with this releasing breath, breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And let's do our wave, if you can, which means you're arching your back on the inhale, like filling the belly. It's coming up through the spine, and then you're curving your back in a C curve, flattening the arch of the back on the exhale, right? So the pelvis moves first. If you want to, if your hand is in an awkward position, just let it go and just release and feel your attention on that area. And we're going to rock our body with the wave breath. But keep your attention on that area and keep breathing through it while we wave through the body. Give your body some fluid motion. Okay, we're calling in the light of our consciousness, our awareness, our presence as we breathe. So tilt your pelvis forward, breathing in, arching the back, letting the breath rise up the rib cage. Let your head move last, so it's kind of forming a waving motion. That's the very first video, if you never need to go back to it. And you're breathing through this area of the body, and on the exhale, really let it go, let it flow. Let any sound come out you need to on your exhale. You know, does that sound like a groan of worry? Or is it higher pitched, like kettle, like a steam kettle? And let your body also move in any way that it wants to move now, a little more freeform. because we're going to wave right through this area. So it's like you have a little wave rippling of breath through the area. Breathe in and kind of expand that area on the breath, and then breathe out and release it. So wherever that is in your body, kind of like an accordion, how it expands and contracts, just imagine that through this area you are breathing, and it's just like an accordion. It's opening to receive the breath, and then it's releasing and almost squeezing like a sponge. And let's release into nature. And it's your choice. I'm, you know, been using a river, so I'm going to release it into the river. You can release it into the trees, into the sky, into the earth, into the sun, whatever you need to, a fire. Release it to nature on the out breath. Ah, that feels great. And then very slowly in your own timing, let the movement begin to slow down when you're ready. And then just come to rest when you're ready. Just let it, you'll find yourself coming to a still point, a natural place of rest. Every energy has its arc. So as this happens, you have completed an arc. A piece of this energy has been dislodged and released. I started with the enjoyment and enthusiasm part of the class tonight because that's what we want to be experiencing more of. And then that tends to bring up these once obstacles that now become waterfalls. They become openings, right? As the river rises and flows over the rocks, higher and higher and higher, it makes like a music over whatever in its path. So just feel that flow in your body, and let's ground this now. So put one hand on your belly. Deep breath. You can put the other one on your heart. And just say yes to whatever the ease is or the opening that's now in your body. And you can say yes to self-care. If you're not experiencing ease right now, it's totally okay. What we want to ground in is that you are listening and responding to your body. And that's a good thing always. It's always a good thing. Listening, responding, opening, asking, receiving. Yeah, the answers are not on your shoulders. You don't have to carry around the questions like burdens. What we're learning is to release these questions, to release into the unknown our worries, our fears, anxieties, and guilt. We're learning how to release this energy into the river of our lives and let it go, let it flow. We're learning the path of trust in the flow of life energy. It has its own good intention. It has its own path. It's guided by the soul. You're open to that universal good when you do this. You're participating in co-creation through release of whatever's in your way, old protection. Let's take a breath of gratitude. And enjoy the gratitude for the dialogue, conscious dialogue with your body. Do You notice both experiences, the experience of visiting these enthusiastic activities, wonderful activities, and visiting places where we experience stuckness or worry or any sort of anxiety. All of it, whatever we're experiencing, can be part of the flow of our lives. You can trust the flow. We don't have to remain on a high to trust the flow. As a matter of fact, that's not trust. You know, life is full of all kinds of experiences. And the worries and the guilt and the fears are old, unprocessed experiences with a story attached. So tonight we didn't dig for the story. You know, it can certainly come up. You know, you might dream it out or whatever, journal it out later. Or you might not need to. You might just have an idea, a nutshell of, oh yeah, I know that old worry. I tend to do that one. And I tend to carry it in my neck or my shoulder or my belly, whatever it is. We get familiar, and then when we get familiar, we can recognize it and not be so taken over for as long. We can wake up, not be taken over for as long. And then the next, in the first place, when that's the case, when we see it coming and we don't even need to give it our attention, that's a lucky day. That's a lucky moment. Sometimes you can shift without going through any process. And that's because something is becoming more conscious for you. It's not so unconscious that it's already gripped you for minutes or hours or days before you realize, oh, yeah, I'm under the spell of a belief and I'm living out this story and it feels terrible, you know. We've been eclipsed for a period of time. Then we need to release. But isn't it wonderful that there are times where, oh, I don't even need to go down this road this moment. It's very familiar. You know, this shift is so vital because what we're doing is we're bringing awareness to the landscape of our neurology and our body, the way that we're wired, which includes the programming. And it's a landscape. Imagine, you know, the snow on top of the mountain melting and it's following the grooves down the mountain. So we have these certain grooves in our system which are familiar. They're familiar paths that are mind and body tend to go down these certain roads. And when we do these practices, imagine the landscape shape-shifting. Literally, there is a change. You know, like after a storm, there's a change. The river can change its course a little bit, or nature's always changing. Things ebb and flow and shift. And so we become conscious. We can change our terrain. Then we don't have to try to fix everything with our mind. We don't have to worry it better. It doesn't get better that way anyway. You want to change the landscape through your body so the natural way flows down a different groove. That's why we do these release processes with loving attention. Because another core principle, which is really important to remember, that while you hear very much from New Thought teachings about, you know, where you place your attention, wherever you place your attention, you get more of. That's true, but to a certain degree, there's another higher principle, which is vitally important, which is wherever you place your loving awareness, your presence, that transforms. So never be afraid that negative thoughts are coming up and, oh, my, you know, negative beliefs up, oh, I'm giving my attention to it, or, oh, that pain's back in my body. It's not something to be afraid of. Your body's talking to you and the mind is spinning, and that's a signal to practice self-care right away. You don't have to dissect the story. So immediately check in, take care of yourself in whatever way you need to. Grab a blanket, make a cup of tea, go outside and be with in your garden, whatever that is, pet your dog. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself, then you can do a release process. And some of them I know are difficult to do on your own. I realize that. Some of them you will be able to do on your own, and some of them you may need assistance with, and that's fine. So reach out for assistance to whomever you know can hold space for you in whatever way you need. You know, a dear friend who totally gets you, not somebody you have to explain anything to. That doesn't work. Sometimes when we're vulnerable, we tend to, you know, just reach out, not discriminating, not discerning. And you really want to discern and have somebody very present with you. That's the whole key. Whatever you do, whether you do a release process or call a friend, it's presence you want, and consciousness you want to bring into the experience. That's the most important thing. Whatever you place your loving attention on, and who's ever holding loving witness for you, that's what transforms. That, and I recommend connection with nature, releasing to nature, because our body understands it, and nature knows what to do with it. The mind doesn't know. We just don't have this model to us, that's all. You know, we're up in our heads trying to spin it, and then we carry it in our bodies with suffering, and that's not the way, not necessary. Okay, take a breath. And let's see. Where are we going now? Oh, yeah, I did want to talk about this. Okay, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask in a little bit for examples for anyone who'd like to share, either from tonight's meditation, what activities tapped an amount of enjoyment and enthusiasm, and what quality that is, what your experiences in your body, and that sort of thing. Or you can, certainly you're welcome to ask a question or share an insight about anything else that's in the class. So in a few minutes, I will ask for that. For now, I want to tell you about something very interesting that you can watch for in your body when you're in that place where you can't find a clear yes or a clear no. All right, so if your mind is going back and forth, forth, and you're not in that relaxed place, then you know that you're in that spinning mind. It's not the place you're going to get the answer. And you know that saying that says, okay, on the one hand, and then describing a situation, and on the other hand, describing another situation? Well, your body's going to tell you when you're in this space of receptivity to the mystery, because that's a wonderful place to be. And you can even say, you know, if you find yourself going back and forth, you can open your hand and you can breathe and just say, on the one hand, and hold out your hand, and just breathe into that possibility, whatever it is that you're deciding on, and then take a breath, open the other hand, and say, and on the other hand, and take a breath. And then release both your hands and just open to the mystery and say, I wonder where the energy will flow today. I wonder where my life force energy will flow. And it could be a very different path from either of those scenarios. But what you have just done is you've involved your body in the motion and a conscious breath, and you've slowed down that back and forth, very rapid thing that goes on. And you've slowed it down with your breath, and you've invited, the hands are neurologically wired near the language center. That's why a lot of us talk with our hands, and that's why, you know, people who are deaf, you know, the sign language, we express ourselves, our tongues and our fingers and hands, our voice, we're very connected to the movement in our hands, our writing, you know. It's very throat chakra, being open to receive, being willing to receive energy as it pours in through the crown and down through the visionary center and down through the throat and into the heart, through the whole body. As it flows through you, if you find your mind chattering so much, take a breath and just open one hand and breathe. You know, if you only see two choices, because the mind thinks in black and white, and then open the other, on the other hand, and open your hand and breathe. And without needing an answer, just come back to center and breathe. And then you can ask the question from a whole different place. I wonder what path my life force energy will take. And you release into that. Okay, what I love about living in the flow and what is that our experience of time completely changes. And I've just developed this tool that I want to share with you in an upcoming video called Your Goddess Calendar. And what it does is it takes this square grid that, you know, we live by, which is not the most conducive for feminine manifestation, right, our calendar, and it helps to bring, it helps to utilize it as a structural support for the feminine flow. Because in truth, the masculine function, that linear grid, can be a wonderful structural support if we know how to use it. And we're not taught how to use it that way. The way we're taught how to use it is, you know, using the grid for the month and writing down the tasks in a list, and it's a very linear way to function through clock time. It keeps us stuck marching through clock time. And when we have these experiences of what Eckhart calls these three modes of enlightened doing, that completely takes us out of that experience while accomplishing the task that you want to accomplish. Things will get done with far less effort and with far more quality. And they're being done with the quality that you enjoy, and they're being done with the fuel that your body's meant to run on. You can't access that fuel without being open and receptive, without having a clear yes to your activity, whatever it is. So I designed this calendar, and I'm going to have you choose, on the journaling guide that goes with it, there's a choice of three. In the illustration in the video, I have five because I've been doing this for a while. And there are 3 to 5 priority activities that tap into your juice. And they are things like there's self-care. You know, there's time where you are spending just being, like you're either your meditation time or listening to music or your nature walk. Actually taking that energy and putting it in as a priority into your week, like scheduling it in. Let your left brain serve you and support you by choosing your top inspiring activities as priorities in your week and your month. And it's a very devotional practice. You're literally dedicating that part of your day, whatever part of it is, to that activity. And even if you only are able to spend a half an hour doing self-care that day, or you're only able to spend 20 minutes for your meditation in the morning, whatever it is, or however long you exercise, the clock time doesn't matter. Because remember, when you're fully engaged in a whole body yes, doing an activity that plugs you in, it sets the tone for a whole 24 to 48 hours, sometimes 72 hours. And it is cumulative if you practice it rhythmically throughout your week. It's not a rigid practice. My schedule is not always the same every week. This is fluid. and I'll describe it to you a little better visually on the video. But it's very fun to visually see what your chosen, most inspiring, fulfilling activities are and having a dedication in your week and your month to these activities. You're actually, instead of just looking at a to-do list, instead of having your mind, you know, darting back and forth in the unknown, instead of worrying things, you have places to land like stepping stones in activities in a rhythmic fashion throughout your week, throughout your month, that literally buoy you up, plug you in, that are fulfilling, and they access more life force. And then guess what happens? Naturally, the river changes, right? Naturally, your landscape changes. Just like when there's more flow in the river. Exactly that way. You become magnetic to even more of the same. So don't worry about where you start. If you choose one activity, if you choose three, you know, I have five because this particular practice I started over 3 years ago. But two of mine I started just a year ago. And I'll tell you what those are. Two of my activities, 3 years ago, I started making sure that I had a silent day every week where I'm totally off my computer, off my phone. And that's a dedicated day to meditation practice and being in nature. And when I miss that for whatever reason, there's an event or I'm teaching or something like that, I plug it in somewhere because I keep that commitment to myself. So somewhere in the month I have that extra day. It's that important to me and it's that vital to my life that I do this because I talk for a living. So it's important for me to have a silent day. And I absolutely love it. Really changed my life over 3 years ago. And this came to me to, although I meditate a lot and do, you know, go on retreats, it's not the same as when you're grounding something rhythmically in your life. Remember, so if you have these great experiences, we don't want them to be these isolated incidences that are only associated with meditation retreats or seminars or the call or whatever. We really want to be accessing this energy rhythmically throughout our day, throughout our week, throughout our month. And absolutely it's cumulative from the loving attention you place on it, the focus, your choice to, I mean, you're choosing it and you're scheduling it and dedicating yourself to it. And it's a joy. If it becomes a should, you know, put it aside for a while because then you're just doing something with the old energy. It's not gonna serve you at all. So anything, just notice if anything becomes a should, then you need to put it aside for a while and come back and relate to it differently because that's not going to serve you. So for me, that practice from 3 years ago, vitally, it just made a vital change. And from that, 1 year ago, I started using a focus that really helped me receive some more support, left brain support for my work. And with that support, which is some tech support and some training and so on, then I had the space for a creativity day. So that was about it's almost a year now. So for 9 months, I've spent half a day journaling, being in nature, and this course evolved out of that. It was a 9-month pregnancy and then a birth, and out of my creativity day came this course. And it was on Wednesday after lunch, the whole day and evening is that, and then now that's what I'm doing on Wednesdays with all of you. It evolves when you dedicate yourself to that. It will evolve. It'll just have its own way. The river will rise. Something will manifest. So it's just an example, and you'll see more of that. All right. I'm going to open up for sharing. Hold on a sec. So you can press. Let's see. What is it? You press. Just a second. I forgot. I'm going to open up the lines for a second. You press, what is it, star? Is it star 6 and then 1? I think it's star 6 and then 1. That's what it is. Okay, so anybody who would like to share their experience from the meditation or any kind of insight that they had during their integration week or anything up with the course, go ahead and press star 6 and then 1. And I can address your questions or I will say that your sharings really help the other women in the course. I get calls and emails after people share saying that, you know, what somebody shared really assisted them with their own learning process. So I encourage you to just think into whatever experience you have that either relates to tonight's class or it could be another class, but especially one that relates to your enjoyment level. What are you doing when you're really enjoying yourself and that current is really rising? And any limitation that may have shown up that you really were given a chance to see through, had a breakthrough and awareness. And you don't have to give, you know, personal details or anything. You can just give a generality if you'd rather. Some situation that has come up where you perhaps got a clear yes or a clear no. And I might be going to my emails. And let's see, where are we here? Okay, I have Anne. Hold on a second. Hi there, Anne. You're live.
Hi, Amy. Oh, great.
Hi, so do you want to something you have to share?
You know, I've been going back to some of the meditations from earlier weeks, especially when those gremlins have kind of popped up during the week.
Yes.
And so I don't know if I could remember this moment. Oh, yeah, well, it was one of the gremlin, you know, befriending the gremlin meditations that you know, I'd recorded and had on the page. And I had this really incredible breakthrough with it. I had this vision of myself ice skating, of all things.
Huh.
I used to love watching ice skating as a young girl, you know, in the Olympics. And my favorite thing was to watch them do those crazy, you know, triple Luxes or whatever they're called.
Uh-huh.
And I had this image of myself doing that. And what I have come to realize is the breakthrough is that I haven't always allowed myself to go for the big jump. And it's been so incredible for the past week because the idea that came to me through your help, through your guidance, and was that to allow myself to complete something, to really complete it and really go for the big jump.
That's wonderful. That's great. So the symbol, you remember as a child, the vicarious feeling, you're with them on the tremendous leaps. And so that's what it feels like inside. It feels like that kind of a leap.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Amazing how much energy I've gotten back for that feels so much like me and was blocked for so long.
Uh-huh. And tell us just a little bit about what it felt like before, as it was when you before you were able to take the leap, as it was building. It gets kind of uncomfortable in the body, right?
Yeah, I was definitely holding it. A lot of times, it's kind of holding it in my stomach or my core.
Uh huh.
Just getting, you know, doing things, but never getting to that final ending.
Yeah, so you're aware of even the place in the body where you were holding it in the stomach.
Yeah, each time I listen and you guide us through, I find that spot in the body. And then I feel it change. I feel it release.
That's wonderful. I'm happy that it was, you know, so kind of obvious to you where it was landing in the body for the release. We don't even realize when we do the releases what will come from it. We just know that, whatever that is opening up. We can't even guess, you know, what area of life will shift. It seems like all the areas of life benefit from whatever that is. So
yeah,
whatever opened up for you, could you tell how that also affects other areas of life, how you, you know, have more flow in other areas of the wheel?
Yeah, you know, it is really wild, just day-to-day activities, you know, just finding myself having more energy to complete a task at home.
Uh-huh.
And then in the self-care department, I found myself picking up the phone and finally calling, you know, to make like the annual doctor's appointment that I haven't been to in a very, very long time.
little resistances show up, and it's like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. This has been...
Uh-huh.
The more I show up and for this class and the more I go back to these exercises and the more I hang with it, the more I'm getting from it.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage people to know, isn't it true that when we focus on these things, the gremlins do show up? I mean, that is something that we're kind of calling them in to befriend them in a way, because they do hold the energy that helps us with that extra leap that Anne's talking about, that Olympic leap. That energy actually comes from befriending the gremlins, whatever was holding in her stomach from, you know, from childhood or whatever, these limitations, limited beliefs, the energy. That very energy is part of your springboard. So even the worry, the guilt, the fear, that spinning energy or whatever it is and wherever it's located in the body, even though we're practicing, you know, releasing it out of the body to nature, it really acts like a fertilizer in our energy field. It actually is kind of spring-loaded, and it lifts us. The very thing that weighed us down ends up being part of our booster support. So thanks, Anne, for giving such a graphic description of that. That's wonderful.
My pleasure. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
thank you. Okay, anybody else have something they want to share? And it can be a question. And if you need assistance, you know, releasing something, that's a possibility too. But anything that has come to you from doing the exercises that you've noticed or insight that you've had? Several of you have shared them. Anybody else? And while I'm waiting for that, I'm going to go back to... All right, so while I'm waiting to see if there's anybody else who wants to share, I want to say... Oh, we got one more here. Hold on. Okay, this is Catherine. You are live. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I guess I should just share mine.
Okay. Great.
Got to find it first. I wrote it down, so I'm sorry. It's taking a little while.
Fine, no problem.
Okay, here it is. I even had a hard time finding my gremlin. I mean, I knew what it was from an earlier release that I had, because when it came to my attention, it felt like... giant thorn had been taken from my heart.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, it was huge because last year I had broken out in this horrible rash, and it ended up being autoimmune disease.
Uh-huh.
And autoimmune disease is about being attacked when
mm-hmm.
the body attacks itself.
Mm-hmm.
My sister says, oh, this is about being attacked. And I said, exactly. And I've always had the fear of being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of my gremlins, you know. And what else brought it into focus, which was really great, when we did the meditation where did we feel it in our body?
Yes.
And I felt it in my foot.
Oh, yes, I remember that one. Mm-hmm.
And you said, because you have to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, yeah, I have to stand up for myself. And one of the gremlins, I think, that was holding me back was the fear of being attacked.
So that would make it challenging to stand up for yourself when that's the gremlin. Sure.
Yeah. And should I just read what I wrote?
Sure, sure. If you can put it in a little bit of a nutshell, go ahead.
Okay. I said if I wanted to befriend this gremlin, maybe I should call it a guardian because it's trying to protect us.
Uh-huh.
And even though I said I had a hard time with this, what came clear is that I needed to stand up for myself, and that had everything to do with it, you know, standing up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And because every time I have not stood up for myself, I have paid really dear consequences for not standing up for myself. So it's time for me to face this one. And my gremlin says, no, no, if you stand up for yourself, you'll be attacked, or
uh-huh.
you're too little. And so what I really, part of what I want to get out of the class is to move from the fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, primal part of my brain, and move it to front and center where I can see things clearly. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't really read what I wrote because I'll read it to you later. But
Okay.
I don't know quite how to do that. I mean, I'm not sure how I can go from when someone is kind of in attack mode.
Mm-hmm.
I am not sure how to be clear.
Yeah, when you have an actual situation where someone is, you know, of course, attack mode, you're speaking of something verbal at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. So just be clear for you know the other callers. Speaking of like verbal. So that feels very you know think when you think back to being young when you were verbally abused or verbally attacked, that's of course still in the body and the protection to that has amped up to such a degree. But at this point, you know that dynamic when it comes back up again, the strength comes from a different place. And it's accessed from your connection to yourself and from nature. Your body will get the rewiring it needs and the resource of the strength by being held by something in nature that reflects your true nature. Because something wants to complete its experience. The experience of not being able to stand up for yourself needs to be completed. Certainly doesn't mean, you know, we have to be verbally attacking back or anything like that or shout or jump up and down.
I just want clarity.
Just want clarity, yeah. Because
clarity is really key. Christine helped me saying, oh, you just need clarity. And I said, yeah, right. I just need, once I see something clearly, then I can stand up for myself.
Yeah, and one tactic, I'll say that one tactic that the gremlins use to keep you from getting clear is a feeling of confusion and overwhelm. Because you know that once you see it clearly, you will act on it, you will take action, you will do what you need to do or say what you need to say. So in a way, the confusion itself is part of the protection. The overwhelm itself, you know, people call it resistance. So really it's like a protective mechanism because, you know, the little child thinks, oh, if I do something, then it'll get worse instead of better. That energy wants to complete itself. So let me just ask you, it was in your foot before. If you're aware of it now, where is it in the body now, the feeling of lack of clarity or holding back or fear of, you know, the verbal attack?
Probably more towards my center.
That's
because when I am being attacked, that's usually where I feel it.
Yep.
And then the confusion comes. Whereas next time when I feel that, I said, I would just rather say, this is interesting.
Getting curious. And then, getting curious with it. This is interesting. Means you've taken a step back into the loving witness.
Right.
This is interesting. And so when you say
interest and then being able
loving to, interest, and then as you're feeling into it, what's interesting about it? I'm curious. What is that feeling like?
What happens is I feel an energy going more up towards my head.
Uh-huh.
So where I can go more towards the reasoning part of my brain,
uh-huh,
instead of the primal part of my brain.
And what does that feel like? How does that energy move? What's the feeling in the body as the energy moves from the center up to the head?
I don't want to say a volcano because it doesn't erupt quite like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's a geyser that moves up and flows out.
That's a beautiful image. The geyser that moves up and flows out, and that would be the release from the center, from the core of your truth, whatever your truth is.
Yes. Yes.
That's what that is. So that geyser, Catherine, will be your guide.
Okay. Thank you. I hope I made that clear.
It's clear enough without the details, yeah, that the energy, you know, comes from the past, and of course we're making it out to be, we feel as if we're still really little dealing with the same situation. That's not the case. So getting grounded and calling on the energy of that geyser with the conscious breath from wherever you feel it in the center of the body, wherever it is, when you say, that's interesting, being curious, bringing your loving attention to it, conscious breath, and then call on the geyser and just breathe with it. Because, you know, I've been to Yosemite Park, too, watching, Old Faithful, when the geyser spurts, that we never know when it's going to happen. We don't know exactly. It's a mystery. Like, gee, when is that going to come up and show itself, that beautiful spurt of water coming up out of the ground with such beauty and such force. It's kind of like watching for whales spouting, you know?
It is like a whale spouting, either whale spouting or a geyser.
Uh-huh. So you know that the forces underground or under the sea, they're there. They're benign, loving forces. And if you can connect with that benign force in you and that benign guiding force in the universe through nature, breathe and invite it in. And you do this practice, you know, either with assistance or by yourself, not in the situation, being faced in the situation. By the time you come to the situation, you've already had that geyser or that whale kind of spout through you, up and out through the top of your head, sounds like where this trajectory is. And once that happens, something will start to integrate. Will start to integrate, and you'll have a different experience. You'll also show up differently in the experience.
Okay, so I don't have to do it when it happens. I can do it before. And
it's a lot to ask for. You can certainly call on that energy in the situation. Yes, you can. But I wouldn't expect yourself to be able to put yourself through that kind of a process in the moment when somebody's verbally attacking you. If you can go to your grounding, you can go to centering, you can call on the energy of the whale or the geyser. But, you know, you need to kind of step out of the situation, be in self-care mode when you complete the experience.
Okay.
Then the next time you're with them, you can call on it. I wouldn't wait for the experience to happen to process this. It's the other way around. You want to process it, and then when that happens again, you'll have a different energy to bring to it.
I do feel like it's been a process, you know, and I had a giant breakthrough last summer, but, you know, it showed up again in my foot for me to stand up for myself. So
it's a theme then. This is a life theme, and that's a growing edge that has so much to do with your health and well-being and also with every area of the wheel of life, creativity, relationship, home. You'll notice that these big themes will affect the entire wheel in a incredibly positive way.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of courage to.
Really.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage to be with that one.
Yeah.
We can talk about that in another time too, in a private conversation, a little more.
Great. I'll let you go.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Thanks
for sharing, because it's very helpful for people to know that. Big things are showing up for the women. I've gotten several calls in the last 2 weeks and emails with people's the stuff coming up, because the more we tune in to what it is we love and we want, and the more we tune into the call of our soul really wanting to come through us, the more these things show up that have been our protectors, that have been sort of the dimmer switches, you know. They show up because, like, hey, wait a minute, don't get too bright, because then something might happen. So the more we call it in, the more these things come up. They're also coming up to offer us their energy so we can have that triple lux experience like Anne's having. We can have our breakthroughs because they are coming up to offer us that old energy, the feeling in the stomach, the feeling in the foot, you know, whatever. I had something in the base of my neck this week that was pretty big, and they have emotions that come with it. And I'm trusting that, oh, this is the time, the perfect timing for this to show up, for me to honor it and begin a release process, and I don't have to dissect it or know everything about it. But it's important to reach out if you need help and guidance to whoever you do that with to help you through. Because these can be very big, and they can be pretty life-changing.
I have experienced so much joy since I had that major breakthrough last summer. So I know it's a process, and I'm getting better and better, definitely.
Oh, great. I'm so glad. Thank you for sharing. That's very brave. Thank you.
It
I appreciate
it. It was very brave.
It is very brave. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye, Catherine. Yeah, wow. That's a big one, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for your emails. I've been very honored to be recipients and in on your different experiences and insights, and so I always appreciate when people share in class, too, because it does benefit all of you. Well, we're already at time already, so I'm going to, let's see, if one more thing. Oh, yes. Okay. So I want to end class tonight with another inquiry, which will be on a journaling guide, which will be in the homepage with your course tomorrow afternoon. And that is, we're going to start feeling into and curiously exploring what are some new inspired activities that we want to do, or old activities that we haven't felt drawn to. You know, what is coming up for you that this enthusiasm or enjoyment wants an outlet? It wants a channel to come through you. It can be something very simple. It doesn't have to be, starting a whole new type of experience or something, but it can be something very simple. It can be new nature trails to hike, new landscape that you want to experience and walk on and breathe and take in. Let your body be your guide and be guided by beauty and expand your tolerance for enjoyment. And that by way of, another way to say that is to expand to receive even more enjoyment. And remember that as you do this and as you choose and are following through with inspired activities, that as you do them, make sure that you're receiving them fully through your whole body, that your whole body is saying yes to that nourishment, because that's what changes the vibration. And from here, once we go through this calendar exercise, then we can start tapping in to the action steps that come with them, because we need to clear the decks first and then choose these beautiful activities that tap into the qualities that we really want. And then we get messages for what action steps to take. And again, it can be very simple. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, that anybody else would even notice. It's for you. It can be all about your self-care practice, if that's what it's about for you. It's been very much for me for at least 2 years. It was about my self-care and meditation practice. That was my activity, and not a lot changed outwardly until last year, where a lot changed outwardly. So just an encouragement to stay with it, stay in your flow, honor yourself, and fully receive that beauty that's all around you, and let yourself be magnetically drawn to what you love, and experiment with those three modes of enlightened doing: acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. Notice that one thing this week, and then watch the video on the Goddess Calendar, which will probably be up by Monday, if not Saturday. Yeah, probably Monday. And that'll be up, you know, for the rest of the course, and all the materials will be up after the course, too, for at least 2 months for you to access. Okay, so enjoy, and I'm going to open the lines. Hold on a sec. Okay, you're all unmuted, so let's just say blessings and good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you so much, Hillary.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Great to hear you all.
Thank you.
Have a great week. We'll do the goddess archetype work next week, so excited to share that with you. All right. Take care, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.